Hello, and welcome to Small Business Happy Hour, a podcast where we interview a different entrepreneur or small business owner every week to hear their story.
We chat about their business, passions, struggles, and all things small business. Oh, and we drink with our guests during the interview, hence the happy hour.
I'm your host, Derek, founder of Yoga for All Humans, a fully online yoga studio.
And I'm your host, Holly, creator of the blog The Bitter Lemon and author of many books. We are so happy you're here.
Hi, Holly.
What up, what up?
I'm still recovering, though, after the TV show. It's what, Thursday? I got home Monday? Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the shower this morning, I like panicked because I thought it was Friday. And like I teach a morning class at 10:30 on Fridays. And I was like, fuck, I need to like get ready for my class. I mean, I was showering at like, I don't know, 8:45, but I was still like, oh my God. And then I was like, wait, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
My whole sense of time is thrown off. So to reading.
Yes, I was just gonna say, like, I watched New Moon last night because I finished reading New Moon earlier in the week. I was really slogging through reading the book, and I was finally just like, oh my God, it's taking me way too long to read this book. So like I pretty much in like one night, and then the next morning I like ripped through the rest of what I had, because I was just like, this is holding me back. So this is the second in the Twilight Saga series. I think it was just the fact, I always hate it when books, like, you know, when people will say, oh, this is such a good book, but it takes 100 pages to get into it. Like, I don't have time for that. Okay. That's way too long. Like, I feel like 50 pages, but I have these books. I pretty much like I'm in it now. So I'm like, I'm going to read it. But this was like 150 pages. The first 150 pages, I was like, oh my God, it was like her being so sad that Edward is gone. And then when she, you know, her dad is kind of like, okay, dude, you need to like turn things around. She basically decides to like hit up Jacob, and she sees these like motorcycles in somebody's yard that are like junk basically. And she's like, I'm going to take a ride on the wild side, says something cheesy like that. And like, coincidentally, Jacob knows how to rebuild motorcycles. So that becomes their little like bonding project. And they like ride on the motorcycles together, whatever, but they become friends. Of course, people are like, are you friends? Whatever. But it is not until page 310 that he says, I'm a wolf. I'm a wolf. Okay, this is so funny because in me telling people that I was reading Twilight, you know, people will say, oh, right, Edward's the vampire and Jacob is the wolf. But like, it had not happened in the books yet.
Yeah.
So I thought, here I was reading this second book, and I'm like, are they ever going to come out and say that he's a wolf, or am I just supposed to like assume it? Like, I was so confused. But then he said it, and she's literally like, that's fine. And she has a little bit of a moment where she's like, it's not okay if you're murdering people. And he's like, I'm not murdering people, just bloodsuckers. And she also has a moment where she's like, why is this happening to me? Why am I falling in love with these fictional beasts? And I'm just like, bruh, why don't you call your mom and tell her that first you fell in love with a vampire and now you're like flirting with a wolf? Like, this is wacky. But there was a few scenes in the book that I liked. The ending I thought was pretty well done, but I did feel like if it ended at the end of book two, like it could just end, because they don't really build up the tension between Jacob and Edward that much in the book. But in the movie, it did a better job of that, where it's like very clear that like they are against each other because the wolves kill the vampires, and they also both want Bella. Like, that is very obvious at the end of the movie. And Edward's like, you're going to have to marry me. And that was not the ending in the book. So I was like, oh, that was a smart way to end the movie. Very smart. Nice. What?
It's a surprise. I guess that's in book three where he says that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, obviously when the movies were out, like back in like, I think New Moon came out in 2009, I remember seeing like the preview and thinking like, I mean, Taylor Lautner is fine as hell. Mm-hmm. Like, but watching it in the movie, I was like, wow. And he comes into her bedroom with no shirt on. I was like, if that is what the guys at my high school looked like, right, I would most definitely be on Teen Mom. Like, mm-hmm, that is wild that she's just like, Edward looks so dead and disgusting in the second movie. Like, he has, his lips are more red, his skin is extra pale, he's got like the redness on the waterline, and then Jacob is like got this olive skin, like he cuts his hair, he's ripped. I'm like, girl, what is you doing?
You just said you become Teen Mom.
I would be on Teen Mom, like,
that's Riverdale, because that's what they all look like.
I need to watch that.
I'm on season 5 now, by the way, of Riverdale.
So this movie, it's a good movie, but it does start to get a little like, now we're gonna really start to get into this like vampire lore versus the wolves, and I assume they're going to be putting themselves in these situations where they're like going at each other. I guess, you know, better strap in.
You better strap in. Yes. The plot thickens. How's that? And the last book. So.
Yes. I've heard Breaking Dawn is nuts.
Yeah, it is. So I think even though it's like really fantastical, it'll still keep you interested because it is an interesting plot line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have to find out like who she ends up with, obviously. So yeah, I am taking another, you know, a little break right now from, I'll read a different book and then I'll get into Eclipse, but we're on this road. Yeah, that's my update. But I know, you know, we have a lot to talk about with your time in Tulsa.
In Tulsa. And so, the weather was great. I didn't spend much time outside, but the weather was really nice.
Yeah, I would imagine. I didn't think you would really be.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what my update is. It's just the show. Because I was there from what? I flew out last Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Flew back this Tuesday? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it was a long week, but it was a crazy week. I've been telling people, like, people have been asking about it. I'm like, you'll have to listen to the podcast episode on Tuesday because I can't go through this more than once. Because it was just like, it was such a jam-packed week. So the summary I've been giving people is, it was the most exhausting yet most rewarding week of my life I've had so far.
Yeah, I feel like that's typically how it goes.
Yeah, I'm so glad I went, and a big thank you to everyone that helped me get there, including you.
Yay! Yeah, so you're technically the guest for our episode, because I have some questions for you so that we can all hear about whatever you're allowed to tell us about your time, but
yeah,
we didn't introduce our drinks.
All right. Obviously, you know what I'm drinking.
Red wine.
But I haven't had wine since I got back. I've been so good.
Oh, wow.
I drank less during the week. That did not apply whenever I was there.
Right. But no, it doesn't apply if you don't have to go to work.
Correct. Although, yeah, some people will get into it. Anyway. Yeah. That I got from the gas station.
I'm having another one of the Athletic. This one is the Fruitful Path IPA. I love these beers so much, and I feel like we're getting into spring. Like, to me, that is like more of like a beer drinking time, and rosé I've been really wanting an Abita strawberry, so I already have plans to like go in the afternoon tomorrow. I looked up like where who has them stocked, so I'm gonna go to Whole Foods and get some tomorrow because I don't think I've had a strawberry Abita in years, and I want one so bad.
I hope it's a good batch because they taste different year to year.
Yeah, and I saw that they changed the packaging, so they sell them in cans, which
that sounds nice. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be nice, but I feel like I might put it in a glass.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But I like that you could like take it to the pool or whatever.
Yeah, and I like whenever companies, even wine companies, put stuff in cans because it's more eco-friendly and right. like cheaper to ship and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, I'm actually super excited for, I love like, you know, rosé this time of year, like patio season, rosé season.
I'm going to have to try the Athletic. Did Deirdre say if they had Athletic at their store?
They do have. The, when we went, they had some individual ones, so you can try them. I don't know if they sell the packs, but if you get some from Deirdre, I just think Deirdre's so cute.
It is cute.
They sell like 8-packs like at Whole Foods, Sprouts, like anywhere.
I need to run by Deer Dry because like my goal was to find like, you know, you make nice cocktails during the week. My goal, now that I'm back, I was kind of like putting a lot of life on hold until I did the show. But my goal is to find like a nice little cocktail I like to do during the week that's easy, that, you know, tastes good, you know. So I don't think I'll go this weekend, but probably next.
All right. Well, let's get into it. So, yeah, these questions are a surprise. I mean, there's brain busters. All right. So in just like your own words, yeah. what is the box?
Yeah. And it's funny because like if you would have asked me that before I went, I would have had a different answer. Right. So the Bronx is technically the largest entrepreneur competition show in the world. It's like Shark Tank, but kind of spinning that to like an educational week. So you know, in Shark Tank, you're kind of proving why your business model makes sense and is good. Mm-hmm. But the blocks educate you on like different topics every day. And then you kind of make that pitch to a judge with education backing you up, right? Got and it. So that's kind of how it is. And Bess Bergstrom, is that his name?
Derek here via editing. It is Bergman, Wes Bergman.
Started this, I mean, I think like maybe like 7 years ago. Apparently, this was like always his dream to start something like this. Mm-hmm. And it started out of his house, technically. The first season or two was out of his house. And it's grown a lot since then. It's kind of crazy how big it's gotten. And he was actually like the main educator. So like, you know, he's an entrepreneur and an investor himself. He's also a reality star. I didn't recognize him. That was the funny part going into it, is that a lot of people are like, oh my God, Wes. I was like...
He was on Real World Austin in 2005, and he's pretty much been on like most seasons of The Challenge, which The Challenge is in like it's 20, could be more, at least 20 seasons of The Challenge. I mean, and he's won The Challenge a few times.
Yeah, yeah. And we actually missed a season of The Challenge that was filming the same week we were at the blocks.
Yeah, I heard he's going to be on the next season of House of Villains, which... surprises me not at all because he is such a villain on The Challenge.
He is, but in person, he's like very, very nice.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people know that about him, but he tries to like, he intentionally wants to come off as a douchebag. That's kind of like his brand. But he was like very genuinely nice. He's still like a bro, you know, at the end of the day. But like, just talking to him one-on-one, it was crazy how nice he was. But yeah, like he was leaving, like he literally like left from the House of Villains the day we got there. Mm-hmm. And we It doesn't matter if I say this. I didn't actually sign an NDA or anything, by the way. They're just like, please don't spoil much. But it was interesting because we got there and he wasn't there yet because like he had flight issues coming back from the House of Villains. So we started like night zero, you know, technically it was like the night before we actually got started, but we started without him and then didn't meet him till the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we jump into like your experience, like your last week, let's just set the scene for people that are listening. Mm-hmm. If you want to just briefly explain, you know, your business and then how you found out about the blocks and then how you applied or whatever the process was for you, like letting them know you're there.
Yeah. So I had to fine tune my business introduction while I was there, which is actually nice because literally every time we talked in front of a camera, we had to do our introduction. So, hi, I'm Derek Hagler from Austin, Texas, representing Yoga for All Humans, which is an online and on-site yoga studio. Our three A's are affordability, accessibility, and approachability. So our goal is to bring yoga to everyone, regardless of, you know, financial or physical ability, partnering with businesses for on-site yoga. And we have online classes and an on-demand library as well. What was the other question?
Your business is Yoga for All Humans. How did you come across the blocks and think like, okay, this is going to align with my business, and then decided to apply or whatever the process was?
Yeah. So that was kind of a random joke with the show because a lot of us that were there hadn't heard of the blocks before. Targeted advertising, which was one of our subjects for the day, doing its job, right? So I received a targeted ad on Instagram, and it was basically like, are you an entrepreneur trying to take your business to the next level or something like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what is this? And it was like, you know, apply to be on a reality TV show to, you know, highlight your business and educate yourself. And I was like, okay. I was like, I mean, it doesn't hurt to apply, right? So I applied. Wasn't really sure if I would hear back. And I probably applied. Honestly, I don't know when I applied, but probably didn't hear back for like, I don't know, like 2 or 3 months. And then they sent me an email wanting me to like submit some recorded videos answering some questions, right?
Okay.
At that point, I was like, okay, let me figure out what the show is about. And so like I like looked at it and I was like, okay, this seems legit. You know, I watched a couple episodes of a season and I was like, okay, like I do want to learn more about business stuff and obviously want the exposure for my business. I did the recorded videos and then a few weeks went by and I thought I had made the cut because they basically said after you recorded the videos and submitted them that you would hear back, you know, within a week. And then they reached out a few weeks later and said, you know, let's schedule a phone call, 45-minute phone interview. And then during the phone interview, that's whenever I figured out that it was the last step. And then I figured out while I was there that of my season, which is season 14, there were 15,000 businesses that applied.
Wow.
And 100 of us that were there. I was like, damn, okay. I feel better about that. That helped everyone because I like felt like a fish out of water. I was like, do I deserve to be here? You know?
Oh, yeah. So you find out you're selected. What was the time frame from when you found out you were selected to when you left last Tuesday?
Yeah. So I want to say I found out I was selected in like October.
Okay.
Something like that. Even like October, November. I know it was last year for sure.
Yeah.
And then like we had to like, because we had to pay to go, you know, and we had to make some, like we had to do like 1,000 up front. And then like, I think like 60 days before another 1,000 and then the final 2,000, like I think 2 weeks before filming, you know?
Okay.
I had like some time to plan and like, you know, prepare to make that investment.
Mm-hmm. So was there anything else aside from you know, figuring out how to pay for it and obviously blocking off time. Was there anything else specific that you had to do to prepare before you went?
I watched the show. You know, they didn't really have any requirements, right? Like, it was like, show up, basically.
Yeah.
Their suggestions were to watch the show. You know, that was, that's just smart to do. So you know what to expect, you know? Right. And then they also have, like, because, like, the Blocks is part of Beta Blocks. And Beta Blocks is just, like, a platform for entrepreneurs. And they have, like, educational materials that you can get, like, on your own. You don't have to go on the show to get the education. You can, like, go through that. They have, like, an online program that you can do. And I think it's called Alpha Blocks is one of their, like, kind of basic programs. And we get it for free. And they encouraged us to do that program before we went, which I did not. Realistically, it was only, I think it like, it's like a 20-hour program or something like that. I was like, yeah. I just don't have the time to do that. So now that I've gone, I do plan on working my way through that program because it did have valuable information in it. But yeah, I didn't do a whole lot of preparing before I went.
Okay. I was just curious. Like, you said that you had to maybe take some video of yourself when you were traveling.
Good call. Yes. So they called it hometown footage.
Right. Oh, right. Because Wesley taped some stuff for you, right?
He did. Yeah. Okay. And apparently I kind of missed the memo on everything I was supposed to send them. Because they, like, the only thing I saw was, like, record yourself at work, basically. And I was like, that's easy. I'll just send videos of me teaching yoga, right? But they also then had, like, videos of you, like, walking your dogs or stuff like that, right?
Just so your life, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't send any of that. But, like, whenever we, like, recorded an intro, like, you know, the day I got there, and he, like, mentioned that, and I was like, yeah, I forgot to send that in. He's like, it's no big deal. And he was like, what you do outside of work? And I was like, honestly, it's fine. I didn't see anything in because I don't really do a whole lot because, like, I work full time and I do the yoga studio. Outside of that, I don't have a lot of spare time to have a life. So, you know, I mean, I basically said I read, play video games, you know, take the dogs for walks, visit family and friends whenever I can. But essentially, that's it. So there wasn't a whole lot of video for that anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So now we can get into the filming. So that happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. So just kind of explain, you know, what is this actual competition? Like, how do people win or lose? And then what was the day-to-day like?
Yeah. So I'm going to walk through each step of the day. And then kind of fill in the details as I go. And it depends on who you are and what happens during the day, because there's, like, side filming that goes on. But essentially, we were at the Osage Casino in Tulsa. And breakfast was served from, like, 8 to 10. And then three of the days that we were there, there were, like extracurricular classes during breakfast time. So, like, one day they had, like, a copywriting class. One day they had, like, a website class, stuff like that. So, like, extra things you could learn if you wanted or just do breakfast. So, basically, the day started at 10 because that's whenever Wes would start his education. So, each day had, like, a different topic of the day. And we knew that that topic of the day is what we would then have to present on and be scored on through the day. So we were all, like, keyed in and, like, taking, like, vigorous notes, you know, like, and here I am with, like, my little gimp hand, just taking the same notes. And so we would spend from 10 a.m. to noon, you know, learning about a subject. And it was so interesting because, like, some of these topics were things I learned about in grad school, right? Because I did my MBA. Mm-hmm. I learned more in this week alone than I did the entire time I was at grad school as far as, like, how to run a business. It was crazy. Just the way he made it practical and real, you know? I mean, that alone was worth going for me. Mm-hmm. So we would do 10 to noon learning stuff. And then we had lunch, which was like 45 minutes. And so there wasn't a whole lot of time in between things. Like if you need to go back to your room or whatever, you're like basically cutting into your eating time whenever you're having to do anything on your own. And then after lunch, we would go back to where we were learning, which is basically all in the same room, all in the same like arena. And he would present us with the, I guess, the challenge of the day. So like we basically had like a minute or two to write down, like based on what we learned. He had like several different like questions or like things that we had to analyze. And we would either take like a picture of it or like write it down as fast as we could. And then we would split up into 9 separate rooms. And so there was, you know, about 100 businesses there. We would split up into 9 separate rooms with, it would be like 12 or 13 of us in each room with a judge. And the judges were like people who had also been pre-screened like we were, but like successful business people, right? And so we would go into these rooms. We would have 15 minutes to come up with our pitch based on what we learned that day and what the criteria he set forth. And then we would have to go by one, and we only had 3 minutes to present it. And the choice was random, and the order was random. And so I got so lucky, 4 days out of 5, that I was like either last or second to last for those days.
Wow.
That was just fucking torture, you know, to see everyone going and just waiting and like just stressing out. And it was really weird because like I went into it thinking I wasn't going to be nervous about this presentation part of it.
Yeah, I remember that.
But I was fucking nervous.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, it was different than like being in grad school, giving a presentation at work. I'm like in front of my peers, but also on camera. And like, I don't know. It was just a whole mindset thing. Like the first 2 days, I was nervous as fuck. But after that, it was good. It just took a couple days of adjusting. But I see now why people, because like whenever I was watching the TV show, I was like, why are these people reading out of their notebook? And the way that it's judged is interesting. I knew after the first day I was not going to win. Spoiler alert, I did not win. I knew after the first day I wasn't going to win, though, because like to win the blocks, you really have to be like a really dedicated student, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was always like a B+, A- student, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be an A+ student because you have to be really good at like retention. Because whenever you were presenting, you had to make sure that you're hitting like all these little nitpicky things from the topic of the day. There was like, a rubric that the judges had where they were like making a score based on like you could give a presentation that was fabulous, but if you didn't touch on specific little things, you wouldn't do well, right? And so whenever I figured that out, I was like, I'm not a person that likes to read from, you know, my presentation. I like to know what I'm talking about and talk about it. Like if I go, usually whenever I give presentations, I don't even write a script. So it just wasn't my style, but it was a good practice. So each person would go around and do that. And then we would do our consults, which is where the valuable piece of it was. And so the consults is where we met with, one by one, we met with our judges for 10 to 12 minutes. And they kind of like analyzed our business and in relation to the topic of the day. Sometimes asked us some like, you know, vocab questions, you know, as additional ways to score things. But that was whenever they really dug into our business and like gave us really, really tangible advice. So like each day I went into those consults with how my, with like a mindset of like, how can I get the most out of this, you know, and walked away with a lot of really good information. So it was basically like coaching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically what would happen, like, so that was like from literally like 1 p.m. till 5 or 6 p.m. We were in this room, all of us together, and it would take that long.
Yeah.
And basically what would happen after that is the judge would rank us from first to last. We wouldn't know what the ranking was. So they would rank us from first to last based on our 3-minute presentation. And then they would choose the top three from their consults. And those people would get like 3 extra bonus points. And then we would go to dinner. Mm-hmm. And so we had dinner. The people that were very serious would like be studying during dinner. Like seriously, they had their books out and they were like studying because they were hoping that they would be called on stage whenever they would have to do a competition. I was never studying during dinner. I didn't think I was ever going to win. So we had dinner and then we kind of reconvened, you know, back where we did like our original like seminar for the day. And Wes would introduce like the winner from each pod. So he would like say in so-and-so's pod, this person, or it would say the business is the winner. He wouldn't say their name. He would say their business name. Mm-hmm. And so we would all just be waiting for the pod and then, you know, clap whenever the person won or whatever. So basically, all we knew the whole week is we knew who won out of the pod, right? Outside of that, we didn't know if we were second place. We didn't know if we were third place. We didn't know if we were last place. Mm-hmm. So kind of the whole week, you just don't know where you stand.
Right.
Other than, did they win the pod? And then at the end of the night, he would announce who is in the top three for the week so far, but in no necessary order. But basically, the pod winners would go into the back room and some days they would be presented with like a presentation that they had to come up with within like 3 minutes or something. And then on some days it would be more like a pop quiz. And so they would have to either come on stage and do a presentation or they would come on stage and he would give them a pop quiz and they would just have to answer off the fly. And then Wes would score those people in relation to how they did with each other, just like in the pod. And then they would get like additional points, you know, based on how they scored on stage. And then at the end of the night, he would say who's in the running for the top three. And then we would either go to bed or I went to the bar. Mm-hmm. That curfew every night.
Yeah. Okay. So what was the, like, what was the lay of the land as far as your competitors? Like, was it all solopreneurs or would it be like one person representing a bigger business or like, what was that?
Yeah. Yeah. It was mostly solopreneurs.
Okay.
There were some people that were there as like a duo, you know? Mm-hmm. I would say majoritively it was solopreneurs, but most of the, so it was like kind of a mix of businesses. So some businesses were actually pre-launch, like some haven't even gone live yet.
Okay.
They just have a really good idea and have gotten things in place. Mm-hmm. Some are like me, they've been a couple years in.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing good. Maybe they're not, you know? And then some are like killing it. You know, there were some businesses that were there competing that were like over $10 million a year in revenue, you know? So it was just like, it was a very wide mix and they did that on purpose. They wanted a good, because you could still win if you hadn't gone live yet. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, for sure. Cause it's about your like knowledge of running a business basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah,
so it was cool to meet like so many different people from so many walks of life. Like, I made so many connections and still didn't get to meet everyone. There were still people where I was like, I don't even know who that is.
I assume it was mostly like US-based businesses or were there people from other countries there?
It was only the United States.
United States. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So out of this whole week, you know, I assume you know, you learned a lot, you met a lot of people. What would you say was like your aha moment? Or like, what was a moment where you were like, okay, this was worth all the money or whatever it was?
Yeah, it was the day whenever we were talking about, like, basically we spent a whole day going through like different channels of advertising, right? And like, it was all stuff that I knew, but like, had I gone to this whenever I first started the studio, I would have saved a lot of money and a lot of frustration, because it was just crazy how simply he like broke it down and like kind of made like, we actually talk about the scientific method. So we were talking about the scientific method of approaching how to advertise and how to like, you know, choose three different mediums of advertising. So like social media, I'm brain dead still, but anyway, different channels, blogging, you know, would be one, things like that. Choosing three different ones, testing those, figuring out which one works the best, put a lot of fuel into that, fine tune it. And then once it's perfect, go to number two and then do that. And like, it was basically kind of what we all do. We just fucking flail and like, we're just like, oh no, this isn't working. I need to try all these things, you know? And he called it marketing amnesia. So like, you know, you know that whenever you receive like a certain marketing method, it doesn't work on you, but because you're desperate at the beginning and like just trying to make your business get off the ground, you're just grasping at straws and doing things that theoretically you know won't work, right? I did that a lot. And I was just like, fuck me. Like, if I would have just approached it from like a more scientific, like regimented method back in the day, that would have helped a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So now coming home, I feel like I can like reset and just figure it the fuck out, you know? And it was a pretty simple concept if you think about it, like, granularly. But until, like, you sat there and really heard it, I was like, oh, that's what I should have done, you know? Because you really are trying to do a lot at once, especially, like, whenever I was at the beginning, I did have more money, and I was just like, okay, I have a lot of money. Let me try all these different things. Well, I should have taken my time, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, finding out where your audience is. Like, I know that's like one thing that's super frustrating, even like working at my job. Like, we do a ton of social media at my job, but like our audience really, they are, some of them are on social media, but not the touch model for our business is just very, for where I work is very different. And then like for my blog, it's so funny because people will say like, you know, Pinterest is dead or whatever. 90% of the traffic for my blog, which I get 100,000 views a year, comes from Pinterest. Like, you can say, people say Twitter's dead now or whatever, but there's some people still there. And it's like, do you need a million people buying your product, or do you need 100 really dedicated people buying your product or whatever? Right. And like, I think even us, like marketing the podcast, like, I don't think a lot of our audience is on Instagram. Yeah, we have an Instagram account, but we reach more people that are not our followers. And like, it's the same with my Etsy shop. People that buy what I sell on Etsy, they are not hanging out on Instagram, but I know that. Like, I just like having the account so I can display my stuff.
Yeah.
But I know that they're not on Instagram looking for bucket lists. It's just like, it's so weird, but I think like that's key, is like understanding your audience and like where they hang out. And like for yoga, that's, I feel like that's a tough one, because they may, you know, yoga has changed so much. So it's like, I feel like that might be a tough one, but you know.
Yeah. We spend a lot of time going over different strategies, and like, it's kind of crazy because we covered 5 topics. He has a, like a curriculum of, I think like 22. There's actually a grad school version of the box that I may do one day. Not right now, because I'm out of money, but it was just crazy how much I learned. And like, you know, none of it was like, I mean, it was all mind-blowing, but it was just the way that it was presented to me and the reality of business today, you know. Yeah. A lot of times in school, like, I didn't do entrepreneurship in college, but I would imagine that it wouldn't be as beneficial as something like this, you know.
Yeah, probably not.
It was interesting, but yeah, it was, that was kind of my biggest aha, is that like, you know, if I could turn back time, as they say. But I don't have to turn back time. I just have to correct my path moving forward. And then outside of that, like, I think the biggest benefit, you know, I told a couple of the coaches, I was like, really my goal going into it, like, if I won, that would have been great, right? Of course, like, we all want to win. But I didn't leave the week feeling defeated because I didn't win. My three goals were to learn. I learned a lot. I wanted to make really good connections, and good God, like, I feel like some of these people are already like my family, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to build up my confidence, you know, because I've been in a really negative mindset this year until going to the blocks about the studio and like wanting to quit and just wanting to give up. And I just needed to reignite the fire, and then, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we'll get back on the positive track in a second, but I have one kind of like, you know, I'm just curious, like, you've only been back for a few days, but do you have any regrets about something that happened there or something you said, anything?
Where are we now?
Okay.
No, because it was like, that was one of the nice things about it, is that it was a very judgment-free zone. Mm-hmm. And like, they let us know at the beginning of the week, they were like, we're like, if you look stupid, we're not going to put it in the show.
Okay.
So we like felt very comfortable about like, it doesn't matter. We're here to learn. We're here to be supported. And like, if we fuck up, it doesn't really matter, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously a cash prize would have been nice, but, but it was interesting. Cause like, and Wes told us at some point during the show, they actually had an offer, you know, because that was one of the things whenever I told people about the show, they're like, I've never heard of it. Why isn't it on like some mainstream platform? Mm-hmm. And they had an offer to bring it to NBC, mm-hmm. which obviously would have been really lucrative. And then people going on the show wouldn't have to pay for it, things like that. But it was basically like how the blocks is right now. It's like 90% education, 10% reality, right?
Yeah.
Okay, like if they were to go to NBC, they wanted to flip-flop that.
Right. I'm going to say like they want people going for each other's necks.
Exactly. So Wes didn't take the deal because he wanted to protect what it's meant to do.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I really have no regrets other than maybe staying out a little bit too late at the bar every now and then. But it was like, it was interesting because like the first night, not that many people went to the bar, but the second day we had just like a doozy of a topic, and I went to the bar and there was like 50 other people there from the show, and I was like, we were just like fucking soaking up each other's energy and just connecting. And like, I'm in that curfew, I was in bed at like 11:59 every night.
yeah.
Technically the last night I was there, I went to bed earlier because I had to wake up really early the next morning to film. But yeah, one night I told myself I wasn't gonna go, and then I was like missing my friends, and it was like, we're back at the bar. And the drinks were thankfully cheap. It was like $6 glasses of wine. So.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
And no regrets, honestly.
No regrets. That's good.
Yeah.
So what does this experience, or what is being on the show, like, mean for the future of your business?
Yeah. Like my season, I'm season 14. It probably won't air until like the beginning of next year. Is kind of how it's looking. So I'll keep people posted whenever I actually know whenever it's going to air. But obviously, like, the business airing will be good exposure for people that watch the show. But really, like, I feel reinvigorated to make the studio a thing. I already knew going into it that, like, my business was a good plan, right? Like, I know that Yoga for All Humans is important. I know that my mission is important. But logistically, I was like, like, why isn't that working? You know, because it's been a struggle. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot while I was there of just like, not necessarily easy things, but strategic things that I can do to really get the needle moving. Mm-hmm. So I'm not giving up. And I have like, I haven't like set a finite plan in place yet, because I've been trying to not overwhelm myself. But I've been like already starting to do a better job of tracking like how many hours a day I spend on the business and what I spend it on. So I can start like looking into that. But for the future of Yoga for All Humans, it was bright. It was very bright. You know, I had such a really welcoming reception of my business model from start to finish. You know, everyone was really impressed with the fact that I already have a white label app, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a big selling point. I even had some of the judges like, we're very interested in the business, maybe from like a future investment model. We'll see, you know, because technically some of the judges could be investors, you know, it's part of the benefits of growing on the show. But it was very affirming to hear the judges, like just, and the judges again are the people that are, you know, doing successful. I forget what their threshold is for being successful, but you know, it's multi-million dollar businesses, but it's also like multi-million dollar businesses that are doing good. It's not like nasty, like skeezy stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. But it was just very affirming. And I, like I said, I needed confidence and motivation was one of the reasons I went. And I feel like I got that. And if I'm ever feeling like I'm in a slump, you know, I got my people. You know, obviously we have people that we've connected with through the podcast, but this was like boot camp, you know, and I feel like I'm deeply connected to these people. And if I need a support system and I'm feeling down, or I need to come up with new ideas or whatever, like we all have each other's back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. That's what my writing group is.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like, it's so funny because, when I got back from the ranch the first year, I remember like thinking like, man, I can't even like talk about this with anybody because they're not going to understand. And my mom messaged me and she just said, did you feel like you found your people? And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, that's all I can say about it. And it's like, even now I'm still, in a writer's group from that first year. So we've been doing it for almost 2 years. And sometimes I'll go down these spirals where I'm like, I'm never going to be a successful screenwriter. And I'll just, we have a group chat and I'll text them and I'm like, no, we're not doing this.
Exactly. It just helps, you know?
Yeah. Community is everything. Like, people say it, but then you don't really realize it, especially because so many, especially if you're a solopreneur, like, I mean, writing is a solo career anyway, but so many careers are you doing it yourself. You're the one waking up every day. You're the one putting in the hours, you know? So it's like when you have at least one person to like, you know, commiserate, I feel like that helps.
Yeah, it really does. And it was interesting, the connections we made, like, because like, you know, 5 days, 12 or 13 people in a pod, it was randomized, but I had the same people in my pod a few times and I still never got to meet everyone, you know? And then it was like some of the people I considered my closest friends from the trip, I never even had in a fucking pod, you know? So it was you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a lot of really good connections.
So you'll keep us posted on when we can watch season 14 of The Blocks. It's on their app and on Amazon Prime, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's on the app. You can stream it for free on the app. And then on Amazon Prime, I think you have to pay per episode. And it's also like really delayed on Amazon Prime. Like right now, you can stream season 10 on the app. But I think Amazon Prime, you can only stream up to like season 8. Because Amazon Prime just makes everything complicated. That's the streaming on those major services. It delays things.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. But is there anything else that you wanted to share about your time?
So we've talked about this a lot on the pod, the fact that you and I have been really surprised about friends and family not supporting us, in our ventures. And we haven't asked our guests about that a lot, but I would be curious to ask them moving forward because literally every single person I talked to while I was there experienced the same thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like lately on Instagram, I've been seeing like, I don't know what you call them when it's just like a quote on a, it's not a meme, but it's just like a quote post or whatever. And I've seen so many recently that are like, the strangers on the internet are supporting you harder than your mom or whatever, like that sentiment. And I'm like, dang. So I know it can't just be us because other people say it.
It's not. That was another really affirming thing, is that literally every single person I met said the same thing,
How do they deal with it, or are they just like, oh, like they don't care?
and they were just as pissed as we are. And don't ask me for handouts whenever I'm successful, because and the successful people that I asked were like, yeah, nothing gave a fuck until I made it. And then they're like, oh, I knew you could do it. Why didn't you tell me that while I was trying?
Okay, yeah.
And so I mean, I'm curious to see how much airtime I get, because I never got on stage, right? Because like if you get on stage, you're going to get airtime. That means you won your pod, or if you're like in the top 30 or whatever. So the second to last night we were there, we did like a fireside chat. There was like this big fire pit, and everyone that wasn't doing filming otherwise went to this fireside chat. And one of our judges, it was like really inspirational. So he kind of gave us like a really motivational speech and stuff about like getting through the hard times, because I feel like every single one of our judges had failed before, so they would always tell us about that kind of stuff. And so he invited like three specific people to come up and talk about like what their experience, like what their journey had been like through life. And then he kind of opened the floor for people to talk about like what they had gotten from the week, kind of thing. So one girl went up, and then I went up, and so I like stood on top of this fucking fire pit. And like, I don't know if you know this about me, but I don't cry very often, like ever.
Okay.
I'm worried that I'm heartless because I don't cry. But like, I got up there and gave a little bit of my backstory about like how I quit work to open the studio. It wasn't going anywhere, so I had to go back to work, and I'm fucking tired. I was talking about that. And then I was like, and one thing I noticed this week was almost everyone I've talked to has said like their friends and family didn't support them. And like, I literally like started crying because I was already in like a super vulnerable, like exhausted,
Yeah.
and just felt comfortable. And so that may make it, but it was very affirming because everyone's like, fuck yeah, no one supports us, and I'm like, why is it like this, so yeah,
Yeah.
went up there and kind of shared, that part of my journey, and everyone really resonated with it. So in my notes I said I cried, LOL. Let me see if there's any other notes I had. It was weird because like going into it, my biggest concern, like I wasn't really like scared of the cameras, even though whenever I got there I was. No, it wasn't really the cameras, it was more so just an intimidation factor, and we were in small rooms. But my biggest concern going into it is that I wouldn't have enough energy to do it, and like I never ran out of energy the entire week. It was really crazy. And it was like, basically I would get up at like 7:30 every day or earlier some days, and not go to bed until like 1 o'clock in the morning, and like that's not the norm for me, but I would just be going all day, and it was just so full of energy and just like so full of support that I just never ran out of energy and crashed the fuck whenever I got home. But it was a really magical experience. I'm forever grateful that I got to do it. And I think the studio will be great because of it.
All right. So, yeah, I guess we'll be on the lookout for Yoga for All Humans.
Yeah. Here we come, bitches. Yeah. No, I feel like I've got this shit now, you know. I kind of have an action plan to get into from the red to the black and then the black to the green. And I'm feeling really confident. And I feel like the mission I have of actually helping people, you know, will come to fruition. And I feel like I have a lot of support to get there. So. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yay.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Holly, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at OrangeJulia7, also on thebitterlemon.com and on Etsy, Bitter Lemon Digital. And Derek, where can people find you?
So I am on Instagram with my personal account at Yoga with Derek, and that's D-E-R-E-K, spelled the correct way. And on Instagram for Yoga for All Humans, it is at Yoga for All Humans on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Don't judge my TikTok game. I'm still learning. On LinkedIn, you can sync up with me, Derek Hagler, on there. And Yoga for All Humans has its own LinkedIn account as well. And of course, yogaforallhumans.com is the studio's website. Small Business Happy Hour has its own Instagram account at Small Business Happy Hour, or you can email us at smallbusinesshappyhour@gmail.com.
Cheers. See you next Tuesday.